Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
The police will remove that man. There will be no outbursts allowed in this committee, either for or against the nominee.
There is a strong tradition of social justice in the Catholic Church that had a profound influence on me.
He'll try to reach common ground on issues they both agree on, not on issues important to the Catholic Church, such as the life issues and embryonic stem cell research and the family.
The great Western heresy that we can be saved as individuals. That any of us alone can be in right relationship with God.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, it certainly is historic. I mean, the two most powerful men on the planet, arguably, President Barack Obama and Pope Benedict XVI, in the same room together. This should have, in my mind, news-wise, overshadowed the G8 summit. And yet it kind of went uncommented on, a lot of pictures taken, the Pope and the president together talking for a short time. The president takes an audience with the Pope, and I think that makes news. Does it matter? That's the real question. We're going to be talking here in the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. about President Barack Obama's visit last Friday with Pope Benedict. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Monday afternoon, the 13th of July. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. After our discussion about the Pope's visit with the President, we'll continue our series on end times teachings with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger today, The Millennial Reign of Christ. Colleen Carol Campbell is our guest. She's a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book, The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Todd.
For the average Roman Catholic sitting in Mass yesterday, did it matter that the president had an audience with Pope Benedict XVI?
I don't think particularly. I mean, certainly it did get a fair amount of coverage in some circles. But we have to remember that as important as these two figures are on the world stage, there's nothing unprecedented about President Obama being welcomed to a meeting at the Vatican. President Bush met face-to-face with Pope Benedict three times during his administration. In fact, his last meeting in 2008, Pope Benedict made a very unusual move by welcoming him to the Vatican Gardens, which is a private site traditionally reserved for meeting with friends rather than heads of state. So it's not unprecedented that the Pope would meet briefly with Obama when Obama's in town, because after all, he is, of course, the political leader of the free world. And so the Pope certainly has an interest in getting to know him a bit.
Was this political courtesy, or was there something to be accomplished between these two men?
Well, certainly each went in with their own agenda, I'm sure. I think we know President Obama's agenda fairly clearly from a lot of the fights that he's been having with Catholic bishops and pro-life Catholics across the country, especially in the wake of some of his stridently pro-abortion decisions. And, of course, his controversial visit to the University of Notre Dame, which more than 80 bishops opposed his receiving an honorary degree there because of his strident support for legalized abortion, embryo-destructive research, euthanasia, et cetera. So he's got a lot of trouble on his hands with Catholics, and I think that those troubles are continuing to mount as Catholic voters are noticing that his middle-of-the-road rhetoric on issues like abortion doesn't match his record. So that's what he's had coming into the meeting. It could only be a good thing for him to try to appear to be on good terms with the head of the Roman Catholic Church. For Pope Benedict, I think we got a very clear idea, contrary to some of the media spin, of what was high on his agenda by the two documents that he handed Barack Obama when they met. The first was the Vatican's new document on bioethics. It's called The Dignity of the Person, and it spells out very clearly Catholic teaching on a range of bioethics issues, especially the destruction of human embryos, which the Church opposes and which Obama supports, and goes into abortion, various reproductive technologies, et cetera. So he handed the president a copy of that document. He also made sure he had a copy of his new encyclical, Charity and Truth, which over and over in nearly a dozen passages underlines the connection between the right to life and all other rights, including economic development proposals. So Pope Benedict very clearly had some priorities of his own when meeting with President Obama.
It's reported that the president read the encyclical while he was at during spare time at the G8 summit. And I'm wondering, given the fact that he certainly can understand what the Pope is trying to say by giving him that document, but also in penning that document, do you expect any kind of enlightenment on the life issue to dawn upon President Obama?
Well, I think we can always hold out hope, but sadly, no, I don't. I mean, I think the arguments in those documents are very strong. Certainly, in the bioethics document, many of them are made from reason. I mean, they're very logical, and a bright man such as President Obama can certainly follow them. They make a lot more sense than some of the arguments he's tried to advance on those issues. But I think he's pretty wedded to his position on those issues. I think it's how he got his party's nomination in the first place. I think he's been a pretty strident, really an ideologue on these issues for decades now. And so I think we're going to probably not see a lot of movement from Obama on these issues. He has apparently told Pope Benedict that he will work to reduce abortions. But of course, how he does that is yet another controversial topic. Promoting condom pushing, for instance, in schools and that sort of thing is not something that the Pope would consider a good solution to the problem of crisis pregnancy. So I think there are just some really deep differences here, and my sense is that President Obama is a smart politician, but not necessarily someone seeking to better understand Catholic teaching on these questions. I hope I'm wrong about that.
Well, Colleen, I've seen the pictures of your audience with the pontiff, and I think even you giving him your book, What's It Like to Meet a Pope?
Well, it was a pretty great experience. He's a really, really unusual man. Obviously, his office is just exciting to meet someone of his stature, but even more so as a human being. He has a real sense of presence, really looks you in the eye as you're talking to him, really listens and takes you in, and you have a sense that amid all the whirl of the cameras and the crowds and people shrieking his name, he has this unique ability to really focus on the individual that he's meeting at that moment. And he listens carefully, and there's a real deep sense of peace one gets from him. So it was a terrific experience, which my husband was able to share with me. So that was a special treat as well.
How do you reconcile what you said earlier is the gap between President Obama's rhetoric on the life issue, embryonic stem cell research, where he tries his hardest to talk about dignity of life and value of life and heavy moral decisions and things like that, and his policies both now and in his previous political incarnation?
Well, if you look closely at some of that rhetoric, there really isn't any way to square this idea that every human being has dignity, innate dignity, and innate rights, and then that we can destroy some human beings because they're smaller or weaker or located in a different place than others. It doesn't make a lot of logical sense. And so that would maybe be the one glimmer of hope that someone like President Obama, should he ever seek to really understand the traditional Christian teachings on these issues, would find that they are much more compatible with reason, not to mention faith, but simply reason, than his own, which are really illogical. But again, I think we're dealing with someone who's not too worried about squaring the circle in terms of those contradictions, but rather has made prior commitments, has been sticking to those commitments for for years now and made clear on the campaign trail that he wanted to, as he told Planned Parenthood, go on the offensive on these issues, not just be on the defensive. So that's a very different message than what he was telling Pope Benedict. And unfortunately, Obama's actions seem to back up the message he gave to Planned Parenthood in 2007, not the one he gave to Pope Benedict last week.
Finally, with only a minute here, on something you mentioned before, the Pope's encyclical Charity and Truth, some of the news reports about this encyclical say that the Pope is anti-capitalism, that he favors a socialist ideal. How do you respond?
Well, I think, again, it's spin for the sake of trying to put him into a political category that will better serve someone else's ends. Benedict himself said, not only in the encyclical, but in an audience he gave shortly afterward, that this isn't about technical solutions. He's not trying to promote a particular piece of policy. What he does promote are our ageless Catholic teachings on social questions, one of them being subsidiarity, the principle that the people closest to the problem should be the one to solve it. So certainly he doesn't like to see crass consumerism and a materialism that completely disregards the role of virtue in our economic sphere any more than in our political sphere. He certainly got critiques of that, but to call him a socialist or to say that this document now is an affirmation of Obama's economic plan is a real stretch. And I think most of the people saying that are missing a key point he reiterated almost a dozen times, which is that any social policy addressing economic problems has to begin with respect for the individual and with respect for the individual's right to life. So there again, you go back to something that was key all through this document, and you're not hearing the socialist proponents talking about that at all. So I don't think that's true, and I wish some of those folks would actually read the encyclical to see the principles that he advances.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics of Public Policy Center, author of the book, The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and you'll find a link to Colleen's website under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Thank you, Colleen. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
When we come back, we're going to continue our series, our daily series, part three of a four-part daily series with Dr. Kim Riddleberger about the end times teachings. We'll talk about the alleged millennial 1,000-year reign of Christ. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
From Japan to Oslo, Norway, here is Simon. Simon, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to vote for Benny Hinn. My reason for doing so is because, Jesus, the second Adam, ascended to heaven. So I guess there's some truth to it.
Thank you very much. Apparently they have senses of humor in Norway. Thank you very much for listening in Norway.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues, etc.